And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this hump day Wednesday, March 26th. 107 in the afternoon, temperatures in the mid-40s across the area, a lot of cloud cover, and yeah, there's even a little bit of rain shower activity stretching, oh boy, from about Morton northwestward through Jamestown, out around, south of Jamestown, over towards Ellendale. So most of this is being held just to the south and west of the FM area, but there are some more showers up around the Matic area and Rugby moving southeast where those could clip the FM area as we head into mid-afternoon. So not a lot of rain expected, but could see a few sprinkles around here. You might want to grab the umbrella if you're going to be out late this afternoon into the evening hours. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How's your Wednesday going, Bridget?
It's going great, and we've got a full slate of people and topics today.
The studio's packed today.
It is. And so we have a returning guest, now Assistant Ag Director for the day. So, Dawson, would you care to give an introduction for yourself today?
Yeah, my name is Dawson Malkowski. I'm currently a student here in Fargo at NDSU. Yep, I'm an Ag Communications major along with some military and animal sciences. I'm in the Army Guard. I'm in Farmhouse, SNS. I'm currently serving as the North Dakota FFA State Sentinel, and I grew up in Fairfield, North Dakota on a cattle ranch.
That's a lot of things going on at one time. But he's very familiar with the drill. Like, he knew where the studio was. He's been here before.
Yes, ma'am. It's sure great to be back. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. It's nice to have someone who wants to come on and spend a day learning the other side of ag, because really your experience lies in...
in cattle, yeah. It's kind of crazy to see all the black dirt over here. I'm used to the red scoria and the clay side hills, you know.
Well, and some of our topics today have a lot more to do with agronomy than they do with livestock. So this is some learning moments for you as well.
Very much so. I'm really excited to learn as much as I can.
Excellent. And it's been fun. This is probably the fourth month that we have had a student come in. And everybody has been excellent, so no pressure, Dawson. But, the fact that we get students who are able to participate in a variety of different ways, I'm also looking forward to the fact that I now am getting entire classes. Like in April, I've been invited out to the Beulah High School, to their FFA chapter, because they have a group of ag communication students, and we're going to be able to do the show from Beulah with all those students. So,
well, I know a couple of those students, and I'm sure they'll be great.
So. Okay, excellent. I will look forward to those recommendations on the students that will be participating.
Of course.
All right. So we did bring in a few ag headlines today. You know, with the cloudy weather, I know it's an old joke. Oh, it's affecting my phone service. But
The cloudy weather?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so
I've heard of like solar flares and stuff like that.
You might not have been here in North Dakota in the days of trees, grain bins, and clouds all blocked your phone service. This is back in like bag phones, right? I had a bag phone. At one time, I had a phone that was hardwired in my pickup. It literally had a handset that you would dial on the back of and pick up. It was nuts. And now, like you just said, solar flares. So for many farmers out there, you know, raise your hands as you're listening, who had problems with solar flares over Mother's Day weekend 2024? And our guest in studio today is Matt Kruger with Kruger Farms from up by East Grand Forks,
yep,
Minnesota.
Correct.
Matt, what did those solar flares do to your farm equipment?
We actually stopped planting. Like, we opted because we were hearing these crazy things of guys planting and their section control. The computer was saying the planter was in front of them and turning on and off. And so we were like, wow. No, screw it. We're just not going to plan. Which then it got to the point, I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday it started. It was still early. It was like May. It was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got time. And like, it was like Thursday, and I'm like, all right, I can't handle it anymore. We got to go planting, you know? So like, we just started going. It actually went pretty well, but I got to the last 20 acres of the field, and all of a sudden my planter was randomly just going whoop and whoop. And
wherever
I'm like, we're done. You know, and like, we just stopped. And I didn't even want to like drive it back because I at least knew it was lined up in line. So I stopped, walked the half mile to get to the farm. And I was like, well, I guess we'll try again on Monday. You know?
Okay, this is autonomous, right?
No, this is just regular GPS.
We haven't even got to the autonomy section of this day.
Could you have taken the GPS? Can you have turned that off and just manually?
No, I don't have markers. There's no markers on planters anymore. Yeah, no.
Well, it's
a valid question because, I mean, so I kid you not, my mom was like, we're ordering markers next year on that planter.
And I saw your tweet that said, I think I have to go get my dad to run the planter because he knows how to do it without the GPS.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Without auto steer.
I vaguely remember as a kid because I was able to plant the soybeans with the drill. And I was, the big thing was line yourself up with the steering wheel, belly button, line up, move. And like, you just like, I mean, I can do it. I did do it. I was like 10.
Yep.
So I have the skills. Mm-hmm. But by no means am I great. Like, it would be terrible. Like, anytime the GPS doesn't work, or you have to, like, manually drive the field cultivator, like, oh, this sucks, you know? Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Okay, so. As a kid who was helping farm through the 80s and into the 90s, didn't have auto steer on any of our equipment. And that was the days of fallow ground.
Yeah.
So you're talking to somebody who was told when she was in a 1066, which, by the way, there was not a sound guard cab. It was super loud.
Did it have AC even or no?
Well, I had AC when it worked and a lot of AM radio. But that tractor, I remember my dad saying, all right, now I want you to watch the stack on the front. And that's how you're going to line up to stay straight and you know, towards the end of the field. Apparently, I got distracted a lot because there was no way my side of the field was straight. There's a lot of wavy.
Well, in our thing, too, my dad always said, like, look off to the distance and you'll see the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in East Grand Forks.
Yeah.
There's not many trees. So I was like, okay, I think so. And then you're like, but like, I think like now, like when we look back and like make sure everything's fine, like you're like, don't turn. Like,
yeah, don't turn
you know,
your head.
You know, like, you're trying not to do this and have issues. So, yeah.
Which, okay, so Dawson, not having grown up with all this stuff and also not really having any farm ground.
Barely any. Okay, just hay ground. So
what are your questions in this part of the conversation?
Well, concerning the solar flares, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just want to know if like we have any prevention plans for further things. I know that it's super hard to control. It's like weather. You can't really control weather. Mm-hmm. Can we like prevent against solar attacks on our...
I don't know. I mean, I know like the big thing deer had was... like the RTK tower network. So like there's towers that we triangulate. Those are having more issues than their new SFRTK. Or if you're running like SF3, these are, I'm talking deer world. So I don't know case stuff necessarily, but like those seem to be less impacted than the radio tower networks. But okay, here's also my like tinfoil hat a little bit. Sorry. John Deere just announced SFRTK last year. Correlation?
I don't know. But now I have a question for Dean. If you can forecast the weather, can you forecast the solar flares so we know when we can and can't plant?
I can't, but there are branches of meteorology or space weather, they call it, that actually forecast just that.
Yep, there is. It's like a 6-day or 5-day outlook.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a weird time zone. What's the time zone? Do you know what it is, what they call it? It's like
UTC.
UTC, yeah. So universal time zone. So we're negative... I can't remember which one we are. But.
Well, let's see. Spring forward. So now we're 6 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So now, Dawson, as a college student at NDSU, you're taking a meteorology class from...
Daryl Richardson. Mm.
State climatologist.
That has to be amusing.
Oh, my gosh. Never a dull moment.
Oh, I can
whether it's
imagine.
Star Wars references, whether it's weather references, or... Oh, my gosh.
Well,
oh.
So you can take this whole solar flare conversation to class tomorrow and be like, Professor Richardson, I have a question.
We will never get to our topic.
So,
especially if you bring up the tinfoil hat idea of like John Deere correlating the SFRDK to that, he'll be lit up.
That would be, oh my gosh, best day in class.
Oh, ever. It would be.
Everyone would look at me and glare, but I think it might be worth it.
I think it totally would be.
But if
then he'll tweet about it later.
But if he'll tweet about it, number one. And if you sidetrack him, then that's just one less thing on the test.
Yep,
exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That's fine.
I think it's a win-win.
I mean,
do it.
You don't think I planned this kind of thing out in college? Really? Come on now. Absolutely. I might have known how to do that. So I get it. Yes. But, you know, we are very lucky. Daryl, as we were talking about in the weather office earlier with Dawson and Dean, Daryl has an expansive of experience here in North Dakota. You know, he did weather on TV. He has been state climatologist for like the last year. And how many, you said he speaks frequently, which I know he's just getting off of his heavy speaking season for meetings for farmers. How many has he given?
For say that again. So you
like how many speaking engagements has Daryl done?
He said over 20,000 throughout his career, and that's not
is
even
that including the TV.
That's not it. Okay, so that's just like not even his teaching.
Yeah,
that's just him going out and speaking and being invited to different conferences,
that's
different
impressive.
Boards, and yeah, he was telling me about that, and I was just my jaw dropped. right now, as a state sentinel, you have to go around to banquets and be able to memorize your speeches and stuff like that, and I struggle a little bit, and I just look at that, and my jaw just drops, and I
Yeah, that is impressive.
Very impressive. But there's just so much knowledge built up in there that you just got to...
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, speaking of knowledge and impressive, well, the whole day is going to be that way. So again, the voices that you are hearing besides myself and meteorologist Dean Wysocki, you are also hearing from our assistant ag director today, and that is... Go ahead.
Dawson Malkowski.
That way people can recognize your voice, Dawson. And then also we have with us...
Matthew Kruger.
Matt Kruger is with Kruger Farms. He's from the East Grand Forks, Minnesota area. And the reason Matt is here is because he sent tweets earlier this spring showing a tractor just completely torn down because they're making it autonomous.
They are.
It's past the point of just having auto steer. We're going to talk about what it took to bring autonomy to a full-size tractor. And we will do that after the market report. We'll catch up with livestock and then be back. Welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus. So glad that you are here because today is a full day in studio. Lots of discussion. We've already been having it about auto steer and tractors, and we're going to take the leap now to autonomy as well. For those who are listening, if you want to join in our conversation, please give us a call on the JLA Insurance phone line. That is 701-293-9000. You can send emails at flagfamilymedia.com. Or ag at Flag Family Media. And you can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Acres TV under WDAY, Weather and Ag in Focus. So my assistant ag director today, Dawson, when we started talking about this topic in the office earlier, you were quite fascinated. Where would you like to start with questioning Matt on what are you doing?
Well, I think that one of the most important questions is asking him, how did he even get into this? How did you even start How did you get this opportunity? This is a crazy opportunity.
Yeah. So, I mean, so John Deere released the autonomy in 8Rs, which would be the row crop size machines, I think a couple years ago.
8R size tractors. Okay. These are four-wheel drives, track tractors.
Yep.
Okay. So we're just given the size.
Yep, exactly.
What's, so what's your horsepower on that? Is that like a...
The 8R would be like a 210 to 370, I believe. Yep. Okay. So that's like the row crop, bigger row crop size tractor.
Okay.
We don't have, like, we have corn, soybeans, wheat, sunflowers. So we don't really utilize row crop tractors a whole lot, especially for tillage. And so this was targeted more for like smaller farms, you know, smaller tillage tools with the 8Rs. But to me, an 8R tractor is bulletproof from Deere. That's just a bit of solid tractor.
Okay.
The 9R, which is the bigger horsepower, that goes from 410 to... Well, shoot, now they go up to 830 horsepower, you know, so
yeah. Wide range,
a big range there, you know. But so the how, I mean, I think I vocalized with my dealer, like, if we ever can get autonomy on the 9Rs, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it had any weight to it at all, but at least I let him know.
Yeah. You were just thinking about it out loud.
So how it came to be, Mother Deere was watching me.
Like Mother Deer.
Oh, we call her Mother Deer too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Mother Deer.
Oh, my
gosh. Yes. So Mother Deer does watch. She may not know you exactly, but she knows of you. Apparently, I'm in Operations Center, which is Deer's like online platform for where all of our agronomic data goes to and like tracks and everything. Apparently, I had the second highest click rate within our dealership. And then my dealer is True North Equipment up in Grand Forks.
Which means you are in your operations center
frequently
using your data
out
of it.
Yes, yep, okay. Apparently. So I was behind a very large farm that's actually like a world farm.
Oh, is a very large potato farm that farms in nine different states in the U.S.
Yeah, so I kind of have like a little like self five there, you know, but at the same time I'm going like, that's also probably not something to be proud of. So they had certain criteria to be a high user as an operation center, because this is where a lot of that's going to happen, is within operation center. So anyway, that's how we got the opportunity. They came to us and said, hey, we have 9R autonomy coming. We have a kit available. John Deere is asking if you'd be willing to participate in it. And I was like, yes, absolutely.
So they have a kit that they prepared for you?
Yep. Yeah. Implement? So I think they're called like pre-production kits is what I understand. Mm-hmm. So I think there's only like a handful of them out there. So like I think they've tested a year ago with like very, very like probably one or two farms. Now it sounds like there's probably six or seven, and I'm probably wrong. If my salesman's watching me, he's probably like going to be like, no, but whatever.
He can text you.
Yeah, he can text me. So there's, I think, six or seven of them, but there's only one. I think we're the only one up here in the Northern Valley that have it.
Okay.
So, and it's heavily deer backed, not necessarily dealer support. Like, the dealership knows enough about it to be dangerous. They're the ones doing the install on it right now, but they're like, I think I will get contacts from Deere more so, like, we have issues or, you know, things that we need to fix.
So did your local dealer at True North say, we aren't we are excited about putting this install in, or we're nervous about it?
No, they are excited. So I think if anything, people, I mean, if people know me, like, I'm very easily approachable, but some people are intimidated to ask, like, can we come watch? And I'm like, absolutely. So I have no issue with that. I had another dealership ask, like, can we get access to your operations? Because you can have access to people within your operations center. I'm like, that I'm not going to do, but you can text me and I'll let you know where it's at, you know? So.
Okay. And you went to the dealership this morning to see where progress is.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got some photos. Again, for those of you who are following in our live stream, you can be watching us on Acres TV, Facebook, and YouTube. So first photo that's up. So cab's off.
Yeah, cab is off. So it's not a great picture, but there's a silver block kind of by that tire in the back there that they had to add. And that block is kind of the brains behind the autonomy. I think it goes to the brake control. There's some things that have to tie in that are currently mechanical on the machine or on the cab, you know, so they need to have an electronic valve to hit the brake. Because what this thing's going to do is if you jump in front of it, it should stop.
Yeah, that's
anybody test that out yet?
I probably will.
That's one of the selling points on all of this autonomy is that it's supposed to be so sensitive that if you walk in front of it, it stops on a dime.
Because the technician installing it said, because you can do a feature where you can get out of the cab. And I'm still like haven't gone through training on this, so we're going to just kind of like I might be hitting this wrong.
How many of us can get in the cab for training? I'm small. I'll get behind the seat. It's fine.
But they said like you can do turn autonomy on while being in cab. So like you're still in there, but it's doing everything, which would be kind of like GPS now, basically.
Okay.
But it allows you to like make sure everything's set up right. But he did say if you're in the cab and doing autonomy, you need to put your seatbelt on because it will come to a stop. And I'm like, which like if you're pulling up like the the field cultivator we're pulling 60 feet wide, it does take a lot of power. And when you do push the clutch into stop, you do kind of come to an abrupt stop. But with the autonomy, it's tied to the brakes. There's some theory that it also applies to brakes. Like it's a clutch and brake thing. So you will be stopping right now.
And that is the sound of Matt's head on the windshield right there.
So I'm like, and I have kids. I have five kids and they come with me often. So I know, right?
Dude's face.
You look way too young to have five kids.
I do.
Oh, but the best part was earlier today. I was explaining to Dawson how the best salesmanship job you're ever going to have is when you find a spouse and Dean walks by and goes, "Stay single, dude."
So then we'll ask the question how old I think I am. But anyway.
We'll do that later.
I think there's the action of it actually applying brakes. So it's like, if you're in there, make sure you put your seatbelt on because it might stop, you know. And, like, it's supposed to, like, birds, it's not supposed to, like, there's certain things they said it should, like, avoid.
So, but, like, deer, will it stop for?
A deer potentially will.
Deer tractor but, or like, an actual running jumping deer.
I would hope it stops for both.
All of the above, basically.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good point.
But supposedly what it is, too, is there's a team of, like, five or six people in California, this is what I'm told, that they are monitoring these autonomy machines. And so when the camera detects something, it'll send an alert that this team in California is monitoring. And they'll either say, that's okay, keep going. I don't think the tractor is necessarily stopping. I think it's pretty instantaneous. But the second or third alert, it will stop. And then it supposedly will alert me on my phone going, hey, is this okay or what's going on? And, you know, do I proceed or not? You know, so.
Well, just like the hard stop with that tractor, we're going to take a quick one because we want to catch up with bottom of the hour news. When we return, we will continue our conversation with Matt Kruger. He is with Kruger Farms by East Grand Forks, Minnesota, and we're talking about putting his tractor to autonomy. We also are joined by Dawson Malkowski, and Dawson is here as our ag intern for the day. If you have questions for Matt about an install on this tractor, you can reach us on the JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And man, it's too bad we had to break out for news there because the conversation we are having in studio today means that we should probably interrupt part of Jay Thomas's show. We're going to run long on this. So we have with us our guest today is Matt Kruger. He is with Kruger Farms, East Grand Forks, Minnesota. And then also we are joined with our intern for the day, our assistant ag director, and that is Dawson Malkowski, who is a student at NDSU. Okay. We've been talking about Matt's transition of a tractor from just auto steer to autonomy. Mm-hmm. And you brought some pictures that were just of today. So for folks watching on the live stream, we're going to bring one of those up. And it shows, like you said, the cameras on that cab. So if you want to talk about the camera system.
You have. So you can see on the video here, if you can kind of see, there's like four little black dots on this like green shroud that's overhanging. And this is looking on the side of the tractor. There's going to be, if you do math right, 16 cameras. Yep, there we go. 16 cameras on the top of the cab of the tractor. Four on the one side, four on the other side.
It's almost as many as we have in here right now.
Yeah, right. And then four in the front. So these are constantly seeing and evaluating what's around the machine. I mean, because again, ultimately safety is the biggest thing when you're now, there's nobody in there.
And that's so we can avoid driving into another John Deere and another deer.
Another deer, exactly. Yep.
Well, okay. Yep. I have a listener question for you that came in from Twitter. Phil is asking, can you ask Matt if the tractor will be stopping for every tumbleweed that flies in front of it on a windy North Dakota day?
Yep, that's the question. Like they said, like garbage bags, like
plastic bags.
Plastic bags, sorry. Yep. I call them Hugo's bags, you know.
Okay.
If you get it, you get it. And so like they say those should not like cause it to stop. But however, like I discussed earlier, there's a team that's supposed to be seeing those first alerts, and like they will either override it or kick it to, hey, the grower's got to see what's going on. You know,
so they have, so the cameras have to, or the tractor has to rely on a team that's constantly surveying it.
Yeah, so well, I mean, I think it's they're not like watching it live, but it'll probably kick an alert to a team that they have. I think they said they have 3 seconds to respond, so it's pretty quick. Like you can't be over there sleeping on X or something, you know. So you got to be watching whatever they're watching, and making sure like what it is, and then if it is an unsure or they okay it and then it happens again, it sounds like then it'll trigger to me on my phone and then I have to say, oh yeah, that's fine or that's not fine, you know. So and like my thought was, I thought there'd be cameras on the machine. So this is going to be on a field cultivator this spring. Okay. It's a 60-foot wide field cultivator. Right now this is just for tillage. Autonomy is, they had it on the smaller series tractor for same thing, tillage.
Okay.
I think their next step is going to be either planting or combining.
John Deere has a goal that by 2030, that they want to be able to make autonomy happen all the way from planting
to harvest,
tillage, spray through harvest.
Yep.
Let's get that in the hay field too.
What about rock picking?
So Matt,
I would really like
there
that.
There is a company though, right?
TerraClear. Yep. TerraClear. Okay, Dean's
sorry.
What percentage of tractors out there right now, and you might not know this, but what percentage are autonomous right now?
I don't think very many. Like, I mean, I think the 8Rs, like I said, they've had those out. But again, they don't have high horsepower. So you're not be able to pull big, very big implements. It's just tillage. This is the start. And then my salesman said today, too, this kit that's on our tractor should lead into grain cart autonomy as well that Deere will have. Because there has been other manufacturers that have grain cart autonomy, but nothing from Deere.
And you said it took, 48 hours to make this autonomous?
Yeah, so this kit, Deere will charge 48 hours for. So this tractor was called Autonomy Prepped, I think is what it's called. So like it had certain components of it that were ready for autonomy, but there was a block that had to go underneath the cab that was the biggest install because they had to take the cab off, put this block in that connected into it. They are now selling tractors that are called Autonomy Ready, which are, they have that block. And then I think they said the install time now is only 7 hours if you have Autonomy Ready, because what you're going to add is the cameras on the hood, your Starlink, the tractor also has Starlink. And then on the back picture, if you can kind of see, not that one, but there's a picture where it kind of shows the back. It's a big silver box.
Oh, in the back of the cab.
That's the brains.
Okay.
Yeah. So
there
it is. Yep. There it is. That one right there. So that one there, that's the brains for the autonomy system, basically. So that part's only like a 7 hour install.
So over the last two nights, we've had quite a bit of solar activity. We could see the northern lights with clear skies. How does that affect, obviously it does affect the autonomous tractor. So let's say, all right, so we're having solar flares last night. Does that basically shut it down, period? Or
from what I understand, so like I have to even go out and redo all my boundaries on my fields because that machine will not pass that line. It will not. It will do everything. Like if it even thinks it's going to pass it, it's going to shut down. So when I'm going out mapping my field boundaries, I have to have a 89% signal efficiency in order to even map it. Because if there's a point, if the two points are greater than like 75 or 100 feet, it's going to make the boundary invalid. So like there's a lot of prep that we have to do on this thing, which is kind of, it's nice we don't have a lot of snow out, because I'm actually going to start next week starting to do these boundaries because it's still frozen, which is good. And then we can kind of get some work ahead of it done. Worst case, you don't get the boundaries done ahead of time. You can, I hate it because you're double wrapping, but you can go through and wrap the field and create your boundary, and then you're good. The tractor will not exit it. But I think the same thing's going to apply for when it's running, because I've had, well, the solar flares, like we talked about at the beginning.
Yep, last year in May.
They will lose signal. I'm sure it's going to shut it down and go, nope, sorry, I'm done, you know. So I don't know. There's going to be things like that that occur.
So with the autonomous tractor and solar flares, and I'm thinking because solar flares typically, at least in regards to the northern lights, affect the northern tier of the U.S., would this affect areas down in, like, say, Texas differently?
I think it's I think it's the whole thing, yeah. Because I think, because even this, like, last spring, there are farmers all over the place going, well, put the markers back on. We're going to call them, what were they called, Bridget? Solar flare kit or...
Yes. In fact, I just did a podcast with Kibble Equipment. We talked about these, and they had the name.
Yeah, I'll think of it. It was just markers, but they made it fancy, like solar.
Yeah,
like it was
solar flare prevention
kit or something. Yeah, exactly. It was hilarious. Oh, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. But yeah,
something to make more money.
Yeah. Speaking of money, what does something like this cost? Like, did you have to pay for the implement to start doing this to your tractors, and like what? And after it's going to be implemented into your tractor, what is that going to
so cost? Because this is a pre-release, we get it provided to us this first year.
You're the guinea pig.
We're the guinea pig, yeah. So, I mean, there's going to be, like, we're going to lose some efficiencies because of this a little bit.
Okay.
But I think the gains are going to be, you know, they're going to outweigh the cons, basically. From what I understand, what I signed and saw was, like, I think the kit's, like, $25,000-$30,000, if I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry. Okay. I'm not John Deere, so don't like go to your dealership and say I heard Matt Kruger say it was only $30,000. So whatever the kit is, it is what it is. I mean, frankly, the tractors now are just stupid priced. I mean, it's just I can't even get over what they are. So I mean, it's like a quarter of land that we're just driving on, basically.
Yes.
But then what it is that it's a subscription. Deere's gone. I mean, everyone's gone subscription. Like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Like the BMW heats.
Are those subscription?
Those are
subscription.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea.
Actually, so like on my Dodge pickup, it is a subscription that I can turn on and off each month if I want it for auto start on my phone.
Yep. I get that part.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But like heated seats, like, come on, that's in a
seat. BMW. You were
kind of like John Deere, I suppose, you know. We do have heated seats in those things now. So
you do.
And massaging. But anyway.
Get out. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I'm dead serious.
Oh, yeah. Dead serious.
Yep. I'm dead serious.
Well, so. I mean, if you're out in the field all day, it makes sense.
The only complaint I have about them, they shut off after like 10 minutes. I'm sorry. Keep going. Like, it's not long enough.
I'm out here for 12 hours today. Bring it back.
But like going back to, so like the subscription is $4 an acre on tillage. Yes. I don't know. And that's their initial pricing. I think it's a little strong because to put a person in there and the acres you cover, it costs roughly a farmer 75 cents an acre for that labor. So, I mean, but there's a premium to it. But at the same time, there's two things that I've said. I live in the lovely Minnesota blue state. Mm-hmm. My payrolls run through Minnesota, lovely blue state. I have to pay for crap that I think is complete BS, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm supposed to say that, but it just irritates the crap.
You used
out of
all
me.
The right initials, so thank you.
Yes,
that's just fine.
We don't have to beat me or anything.
Yeah, FCC
so.
Did not call. Okay.
We're on YouTube. There's nothing there. I've watched shows where they've said things. I'm like, oh, kids, never mind. Anyway.
Got to turn that off.
Yeah, exactly. But so like it's a subscription based thing. But again, where I see the value and where we're talking about after the show was like we have a pretty good thing about on the farm. Like we want our guys to be done by 9:30. Mm-hmm. Like just go home, go to sleep.
End
we like
day.
To be up at 5:36. Like let's get going. My thought is like, man, I can get this thing set up in the field that we're going to be on tomorrow. Granted, like we get some sweaty things that happen weird as our soils appear because it's cold. But like I could set the thing up at 9 o'clock, hit go, and we can all go home and go to bed. That thing will be working for the next 3 hours, and I'll have another 150 acres done for
me. I was just going to say, how many acres are you going to cover in that time?
And
there you go.
And most of our fields where we farm are pretty straight quarters. That was the thing with deer stipulation. They wanted like not a lot of obstacles, not a lot of trees.
Yeah.
Somewhat squarish fields, but we have some fields that go around coulees, and so we're going to give it a test and see. Supposedly, too, is I'm able to finish the field, like completely do it. That freaks me out because I'm like,
well,
oh my gosh.
You just said going around coulees, and all I can think about is I know a tow guy who can get you out when this goes bad.
I
hope that's not the case.
So that's kind of the cost side of it, you know, that way.
Okay.
Wow. All right. There's so many questions we've been asking. And again, for farmers who are listening, especially you want to ask Matt questions about this process, you can reach us on our phone line, the JLA insurance line, 701-293-9000. So, Matt, Do you anticipate only tillage on this tractor? Do you think that in the next year or two, you're going to change it to other? You mentioned grain cart. Are you thinking maybe in 2 years you could have this using as for your grain cart?
Yeah. So
who's going to take the blame then, right? Grain cart driver, always wrong.
My son, so he's 10. He ran grain cart last year for me and did a great job.
Yeah,
so,
good.
That's my oldest son, by the way. He's 10. So. But they kind of how many kids
track
I have.
Of the math
so.
Yeah, keeping the kids up. Yep.
So I think they're going to, I think what it sounds like this kit will be ready for grain cart next. I would suspect deer's plan after that's planting.
Mm-hmm.
And so this tractor here that we have is our tillage tractor. It does tillage and drain tile. It holds our, it's our biggest horsepower tractor, 640 sure. horsepower. Okay. Our other 9R does our planter, does our grain cart. I think what will happen to me to be like efficient with that $25,000 if we end up buying the kit, it'll be, again, autonomy ready. And I think I can just move those cameras over. I did buy Starlink for my – so the planter tractor is – I run the planter.
Okay.
And the fact that it's Starlink. It's literally it literally is a Starlink kit. Like I thought it would be Elon like Musk. Modified up. Yeah, thank you, Elon Musk. But it's turn Wi-Fi calling on. I will have great cell phone reception everywhere now.
That's true.
And it was $1,000 for 3 years.
For good cell phone reception?
Yeah. And not just good cell phone reception. We're gonna have like phenomenal, like I can stream my Netflix if I want, you know? But I mean like
this sounds like a good pairing with the Netflix and the Starlink and the autonomous tractor. Yep. You might be getting a lot of movies watched.
I know, exactly. But I mean like and there is like as far as we know, there's no like it's not a throttled back subscription from Starlink.
Yeah.
It's the full kit. I literally looked, it is a Starlink kit box. The only thing they did is they cut the end off that goes into the wall and put a deer auxiliary cord plug in on it. And it gets 3 years of Starlink with that thing. It's a phenomenal deal. So, I mean, like, I've kind of been joking, like, I should just buy one for my house and turn my other internet off because it's cheaper per month.
But. I'm going to put it on my pickup because there's times where we're trying to do this show and Addison is in the sound room and he's like, you're breaking up out there.
But, I mean, like, and I've said that to we had the discussion with our dealership. I said, why aren't you guys putting this in your service trucks? Because, honestly, the techs, when they're going out there doing software updates, they're holding their laptops up and trying to get their, like, signal. So, it's... Wow. There's a lot there.
Okay. We could go on. Like I said, we may have to preempt Jay Thomas's show if we keep going. But Matt Krueger, thank you for coming down today and this discussion with us. I have a feeling you are probably going to get a lot more questions. If, in fact, that is the case, where can people find you? I mean, you and I follow each other on Twitter.
We do. Yeah. So I'm big on Twitter. So just follow me, Matthew C. Krueger. If you don't have my handle, look at Bridget and you'll find me somewhere. So we interact pretty often. So that's where I'm at. If anyone really wants to like have a deeper conversation, like I'll DM me. I'll be happy to take a phone call and talk to you too. So.
That would be outstanding. All right. Well, we're going to transition away from autonomy. We better check the weather because we don't want any solar flares, but we will be back right after this.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Wednesday afternoon. We've got some rain on radar stretching, two bands of it, stretching from about Ellendale to just around the Medina area. Then there's another band just northwest of Cooperstown, stretching up towards Rugby area. It's that second band towards the Rugby area that's traveling southeastward. That could clip the FM area here between about 3 and 4 o'clock this afternoon. But other than that, just a lot of clouds out there today. Temperatures currently in the 40s. Really not going to move a whole heck of a lot. Probably upper 40s at the best. Although I do think we'll see some partial clearing as we head towards sunset. And then tonight we're looking at partly cloudy skies, mid-20s, mid-50s. Tomorrow is a pick day of the week, with winds turning to the southeast at about 10 to 15. And then a storm system brings wind and some rain showers on Friday. That'll briefly change to a little light snow Friday night as temperatures slide off into the weekend, with temperatures over the weekend only in the 30s. Now, we're keeping an eye on a second system that's going to be coming up from the Rockies and Central Plains on Saturday. That will give some accumulating snow. Now, our models have been trending that northward with each model run. But right now it looks like any appreciable accumulation should be in South Dakota, stretching into southern half of Minnesota. Now, if the trends keep going northward, then this could get as far north as the 94 corridor, which could give us some accumulating snow on Saturday. But right now it looks like it'll stay to the south. I took a look at some of our long-range guidance over the next 10 to 14 days. And in general across the area, about a good half inch to an inch and a quarter of precip across the area expected over the next 10 to 14 days. That's good news because we have been dry across much of the area. And in fact, we're going to be going over our spring outlook. Mark your calendar April 3rd on the Jay Thomas Show. And we'll be going over month by month what we're expecting. We've got drought conditions across much of the area, and droughts typically either contract or expand. Right now, over the last month and a half, it has been expanding. The question is, will that start to contract as we head into spring and summer? And that's one of the topics we'll be touching on our spring and summer outlook. Again, that's April 3rd coming up. That's next week already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming up next week on the Jay Thomas Show.
Absolutely. And more things to keep in mind tonight at the Fargo Theater. This will start at 7 o'clock. It is a free movie. It is a documentary. It is done with Fikema Farms out of Laverne, Minnesota. They are talking about erosion control, conservation practices, and more that farmers currently do. Fikema Farms also has cattle, and so it really completes the regeneration life cycle on the farm by being able to use green manure and so forth. I'll be emceeing the farm QA panel afterwards. We're going to be talking with several farmers there. But one of the topics we're also going to talk about is soy foam. Soy foam is now coming out of soybeans out of this region. Local fire departments are using it. So Dawson, you looked at it. We've got about 45 seconds left. What's the skinny on soy foam?
Well, I was always curious of like, well, how does this compare to like the foams that we have now? And we use a lot of chemical foams that we combine with a good ratio with water. And with the big wildfires that we had this last fall, it's a good concern, or it's something that we should always be looking into, is how can we increase our effectiveness of what we're putting on those fires.
Yep, so. And this is one that's slightly biodegradable, if you will, because we're bringing it out of soybeans. Also, it controls all nine different types of fires, grease, electrical, and more. So we'll talk about that tomorrow after I get a little more information. But coming up next is the Jay Thomas Show, so don't go anywhere.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.